Western Christianity.
What is pluralism?
Western Christianity.
Where we put the question mark in Christianity. I'm your host, Jay.
And this is B. Hello, everybody.
And welcome to our show. So today we're going to be talking about church pluralism. I have to say that slowly, otherwise I'll butcher the word. And what is church? Well, if you haven't Googled it already, the general consensus of pluralism is that people believe that all religions are equally true.
Pluralism.
The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse.
The general consensus of pluralism is that people believe that all religions are equally true. Right, so we have to understand that only one person can one can be right. Right, this is kind of how we gotta, you know, you can't say, well, I guess you could say that, you know, you could say there are many gods, and then if you worship that one, you go under that god's covering, and so on and so forth. So, but I think we're just gonna dissect why people feel that way, and why that's the case. And with me today is my partner B. How have you been? It's been a long time, sir.
It has. I'm good.
That's great.
And it's good to be back in the saddle.
It's great to have you back, because it's been a while since we've all been able to get back.
Yeah, happy new year and all of that.
Yeah. So, have you ever come across church pluralism. Have you ever come across people who believe that, I believe in a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they kind of put it together. I'm like, I believe all religions are kind of the same.
I've seen people vigorously defend their faith.
Sure.
And so if you think about it from that perspective, then the idea of pluralism is consistent and across the world, right. and persistent. And so I've seen that. I've also seen, to your point, you know, people, I'm one of them, I think, to an extent, where there are things you admire about different ways of practicing your spirituality,
right.
That may be in another belief system, even though for me, right, home base is Christianity.
Right.
Yep.
So, and I can agree with you there, because there is one thing about Muslims that I do admire is their regimented discipline when it comes to praying, you know? So now for them, that's a tenet that must be adhered to, you know, but as opposed to choosing to do so. I've been in the gym a couple of times, and I've seen Muslims, you know, they've stopped and faced east toward Mecca. So poor guy, he was facing south. I had to tell him that the east was this way, this way, you know. So, but I do admire that. But that's kind of where it stops there. You know, because I know a fellow who they used this old picture where there's a big elephant in the room, right? I don't know if you've heard this before. There's a big elephant. They're like seven blind men, right? And so they're all touching.
A literal elephant?
Yeah, in the picture. And they're all touching different parts of the elephant. And they're saying, well, if it's got, you know, if it's a tail, then it must be a tail, right? He's grabbing a tail. This is a tail. And the other person's like, no, this is a leg. The other one's, this is a trunk. This is a horn. I'm touching his ears. That's all. This is what this is. But there's a guy who's further back and can see. He's like, no, it's an elephant. You're all touching. So that's what they're saying. People are saying that the different religions are pointing to the same God, just from a different aspect. You know, and so mm-hmm. I can't say I necessarily agree with that, but I can see where they come from. And because
I can, yeah.
Yeah, because you have, when you talk about Judaism and Islam, that stems mm-hmm. back to Abraham and his sons.
Mm-hmm.
And then the son he had, Abraham, Isaac. Mm-hmm. I had to go Abraham, Isaac. And and then he had the other one, which was Esau,
mm-hmm.
which he had out of wedlock mm-hmm. with Hagar.
Mm-hmm. I'm
trying to remember my Christian religion history. So scholars believe that that's where those two faiths kind of diverged. Mm-hmm. You know, so because they both claim to come from Abraham, mm-hmm. both the Muslims and the Christians and mm-hmm. and the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So they all say, well, mm-hmm. we're both from Abraham. So mm-hmm. that's where the diversion. So they're saying that, you know, because they claim Abraham, who worship the same God, that they go through that same tenet. Now, that's where I think I can see why people believe that, but not necessarily. I don't necessarily agree,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I believe that there's only one way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but a lot of people were like, no, no, even this kind of religion is okay. And that and people want to take pieces out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my issue. Stick with something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be lukewarm about everything. You know?
Smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Take a little of this, a little
of
that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like that, man. Because like it's like in Chicago, you're a Cubs fan until the White Sox then start going to the World Series, and then you're a Cubs. Yeah, nah, come on, you know. So you can be a Chicago fan. You know, I'd have more appreciation for that.
Yeah.
But you know, Cubs fans. And
that's a religion too.
Right, yeah. That's why they call them fanatics.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah. But I think I see it a little bit differently. I think that as I mentioned before, I think there are certain aspects of other walks of faith, and so that through line, right, okay. kind of okay. runs through all of them.
Right.
That you can say, oh yeah, you know that I admire, because I think everyone is trying to practice getting in touch with the divine. Right. And our divinity as Christians is, you know, Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we've been raised, particularly Christians, is mainly tied to the New Testament, even right. though Jesus is kind of throughout the Bible.
Right.
But Christianity is a New Testament act of faith. And so one can argue that that's pluralism. Right. Because you have.
Well, Christ said, he didn't come to break the law, he came to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. So he fulfilled the yeah. prophecies that occurred in the Old Testament,
yeah.
in the New Testament,
right.
which would so I guess some people could make that argument, considering the fact that, you know, different faiths have different books of the Bible in them too, you know, so
mm.
so you have that, you know, mm-hmm. like the Book of Enoch and,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, the Apocrypha.
Apocrypha,
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Though, I must say, reading that did fill in some of the gaps in the Bible for me. You know, because I was so confused. You know, the one thing that sticks out, the two things that stick out really are the, we're going to get back to pluralism. But I just mm-hmm. wanted to talk about this real quick as mm-hmm. Giants, you know, and when mm-hmm. they're talking about the sons of God and entered into the daughters of man, and, you know, and so there's, people are like, angels didn't mate with women, and because these are spirit beings, and blah 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 blah. Yeah, yeah, I can see some of that, but they're also angels. You know, they're very powerful beings, and why can't they take a physical form? You know what I'm saying? So, and they have. We've seen them appear in front of people.
I think they mainly take physical form.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So why? But. Why would they be, you know, my thing is, how could they be compatible? Because we're literally two separate races, you know, so why mm-hmm. would we be compatible with women? But the Apocrypha ones, they kind of fill in a lot of those gaps, and that of the giants too, you mm-hmm. know, so that, but that information cannot be verified, which is why it's not canonical. Canonical.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think there's enough in the regular Bible for people to digest for most of their lifetime, you know, so before you start hinging off to the Apocrypha, because it can get confusing, you know, so
What you just talked about has had me spending many a day. Like, what am I reading?
Right. And it speaks, the Bible speaks about it so matter-of-factly. There's like, this is the time we're giants and they just keep going. Like, yeah. This is the times where we had Chevys. You know what I'm saying?
So, wasn't there a movie with like Russell Crowe?
Oh, that was horrible.
I'm like, what are they talking? I have to go back and, oh my God, it's in there. You know, what are they talking about?
That movie was, are you talking about when he played Noah?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was a bad movie.
Yeah, that was, yeah. And then, oh, yeah, that's. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, and people, I was like, it couldn't have been that bad, you know? And then I watched it. I was like, man,
yeah,
I can't get this 90 minutes back either. Yeah. I can't go back in time and tell myself not to do it. You know? So, but okay, back to pluralism. So I know people that I work with, they believe not only in pluralism, but mm-hmm. that they believe there are many paths to God too.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with that because not the many paths. I don't think there's many paths, but I'm like, what? Are you saying that because you have some sort of evidence of that, or that makes you feel better? You know what I'm saying? Or so it makes it easier because to them that's a truth, you know, but. There has to be a universal truth somewhere out there, and it has to be this way. You know what I'm saying? Just like the streetlights. They're not meant for suggestion. They're meant, though people treat it that way sometimes, you know. Yeah. Green means go, red means stop, yellow does not mean go very fast.
Yeah.
That's what many of us do, because we don't want to get caught by the red light, but we're supposed to slow down, right? So, and that's kind of my issue. There has to be a universal bar for everyone to follow, but people with pluralism are saying no, they're all equal, and there's many paths and all this other stuff and nirvana and whatever, you know. So
I think about it like in last week, the pastor's message was, I hope I'm not misquoting him, but one of the things I thought I heard him say was that God can get to you in many ways.
Sure.
Okay, I didn't make that up. Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay.
That was 2 weeks ago, though.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I wonder, though, I mean, so, you know.
But I think what he meant by that was he uses different avenues to reach the same person,
mm-hmm.
you know, the same mm-hmm. goal, you mm-hmm. know, so. I think I see what you're going at, but continue.
Yeah. So I for some people, they can pick up a religious book, the Bible,
uh-huh.
And other books, right, that speak to their faith and how they believe and say, oh, this works for me.
Right.
Others may find it, you know, doing something else, I'll just say. You know, treating people in a hospital or teaching or traveling, you know, and exercising a spiritual gift and making a spiritual connection in a way that maybe is not necessarily aligned with a religious practice,
uh-huh.
a religious exercise. And so, you know, maybe, right? Uh-huh. I think that's where, you know, again, I personally align with the teachings of Jesus.
Okay.
I think the teachings of Jesus are highly applicable in a number of different ways. And I'm no religious scholar.
Okay.
But I think aspects of them show up in other forms of belief.
Okay. Can you give me a couple examples of that?
Love one another as I've loved you.
Okay.
Right? Wow. But that's kind of the main one. Being your brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about universal truths now, right? Because now we're going back to the Ten Commandments, which were mm-hmm. handed down to, which were moral laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're swinging back to Christianity. Now, I don't want people to think that I'm discounting the fact of other faiths, other mm-hmm. beliefs. I just happen to believe that ours is the right one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I will literally go to my grave saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but having said that, okay, so And you said something that was very interesting, but what I wanted to ask you is, you said, well, I'll take this. This works for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is very interesting, because people are more concerned about how they feel about their and their feelings in their faith, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, how that faith literally feels about them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. as opposed to, yeah, I love, like, there are people that I know is like, yeah, the church, the choir was on fire and da 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 da, and you know, and they were just worshiping up and down the aisle. Oh, what was the sermon about? I walked out by then. I was like, oh my God.
You know, I checked out at 9:15.
Right.
After that song went off.
Right.
I was done.
I went on social media, and yeah. that is bothersome, you know. So, but we're gonna take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll continue this. But I want you to think about that. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking about church pluralism. I'm starting to get better at pronouncing that word there. So, before the break, what were we talking about? I think I mentioned how a person feels about their religion and their faith and that sort of thing. And I think that's where I think a lot of people kind of fall short, because it's more about them than it is about serving a higher power,
mm-hmm.
right? You know what I'm saying? Because even Jesus said that he came to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see that in a lot of people, like, oh, I don't really feel that this is the right thing for me. I don't feel, though we're creatures that do feel. At some point, you have to decide, there's a path I have to follow,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and why do so many people follow, you know, this path? Why are they so bent on, like, Islam or even Christianity? You know, why do people, well, we know why we believe, but people who don't necessarily believe, and there are many atheists who, or agnostics, or whatever titles you want to give whoever, that, you know, they some of them don't believe at all. And then you have people that are like, well, I'll, like you said, I'll take a piece of this one and a piece of that yeah. one. There are many paths to God. Oprah said that. Mm-hmm. So why do you think people, it's a feeling issue as opposed to just, you know, making a decision and be like, this is the right thing to get to serve in?
I think in everything we act on our values.
Okay.
In every way, right? Including spirituality, including religious choices.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and I can only speak for me, that if my religion, the Bible, if it was strictly the Old Testament, I probably wouldn't be that into it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Expound on that. I'm very interested in what you think of.
I say that. If you just stopped after Proverbs, Psalms, right? If that was it, that piece would be interesting. Elements of the Old Testament would be interesting. But for me, what probably got me into this chair today talking with you was Jesus and the New Testament.
Okay.
His words in particular, his actions, his behaviors. To me, that is what the proper, again, you know, you align with, you do what you are.
Right.
But that aligns with how I see not just practicing religion, but like a spiritual path. Like, how do you get to that point? I'm not even talking about raising the dead or turning, you know, wine and water into wine, right. any of that.
Right.
The perspective that he had.
Okay.
And how did you come to learn that information? You know, how did you gain that mental perspective? We know how.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is, that was attractive to me. And I'm sitting here now, you know, I'm my current age, uh-huh. but I'm thinking about that feeling I got when I first was reading the Bible independently as a kid.
Okay.
No one was in the room, right? Mm-hmm. Just me and got the old King James, didn't right. understand half of it.
Right.
but yeah, that was attractive to me.
Okay.
That type of persona.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it really is mainly about Jesus for me, even though it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
If that piece was missing.
Wow, that's very interesting, because I never really thought of it that way. Like, if you had left out his interaction, the entirety of the New Testament is based on what he did.
Mm-hmm. It's all him. Right.
Right. Right. You know? So, because all the letters that Paul wrote, and even I'm not sure there's the Hebrews. I'm not sure who they think wrote Hebrews. But in any case, someone wrote it, mm-hmm. and it was based on, you know, based on the actions of Christ and the spread of the early church, mm-hmm. like the Acts of the Apostles. Mm-hmm. All of that is based on his 3.5 year
yep.
ministry.
And so, those four books.
Yeah, yeah, it's yep. fascinating. So it's yep. a fascinating way of looking at it. I never really, I'm going to have to steal that and take credit for it. Thank you very much. I never really considered
that. But the Jewish faith only, they deal only with the Old Testament, right?
Yes, right. Only the Old Testament. Unless right. you're a Messianic Jew, then they accept Christ.
Oh, okay.
So now in Israel, which is very interesting, there used to be very few Messianic Jews. Now there's a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. So there's that pivot there. Now say what you will about how they conduct warfare, but you know they are. You know it has been established throughout the Bible that he chose them to. Deliver, well, I'm not sure if that's the right term, so I won't say it until I know mm-hmm. what the correct term is. But in layman's term, that's a set of people he set aside to not necessarily represent him, but to glorify him. You're like, this is these I chose these people to spread my word and do et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not entirely certain if that's correct. So don't quote me on that until I do my research about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to close this segment out. Ultimately, it is your choice, right? And you have to live with those choices. Now, me personally, you're not going to agree with me?
No.
Oh, okay.
So use my name.
Don't. Sorry. Sorry. I have to cut that out. So I'm sure you'll agree, B, that
we, I do not know who that person is.
Right, right. That we ourselves believe that Jesus is the way and mm-hmm. the life, and he is the only way. But here's the kicker, and I'll leave you with this in this segment. If I'm wrong, which I do not believe that I am, but if I'm wrong, the human race is doomed anyway. But if I'm right, which I believe I am, if I'm right, if you're listening to my voice, if I'm right, then it bodes very, very badly for you if you do not believe. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying there has to be one path, right? There has to be one universal rule. And I know that you're thinking, who are you to say there has to be one? Because rules are in place for a reason. There are laws, they're in place for a reason. There are universal laws, they're in place for a reason. And that is what it is.
Jesus is, can I add this?
Oh, absolutely.
Jesus is the way for me
mm-hmm.
because of, again, what I just said.
Right.
What was powerful, I'm sitting here as a 12-year-old talking to you. What was powerful to me in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe, they come to arrest him. You know what happens after that.
Right.
But then one of his Disciples. Someone pulls out, someone grabs a sword and cuts a Roman, right? Or cuts the it was a one, remember the Jewish, yeah.
And he cuts his ear off.
Yeah, cut him. Wound him terribly, right?
Right.
Ear cut is terrible. And he says, put down your sword.
Right.
Many of them thought that he was going to come and raise an army.
Right.
And go against Rome and kind of, you know, replace one, you know, official Roman, you know, type of setup, governmental setup with another.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a whole different game plan.
Right.
But he never raised a sword.
Right.
I think I've said this before on this program. And we're still talking about him to this day.
Yep. And as I said before, he was a homeless carpenter executed by the state whose ministry only lasted three and a half years.
Yeah.
You know, so if we celebrate his last dinner, we've been doing it for 2,000 years.
And his birthday, right? Or birth. And so something in my mind, just from a logical perspective, something has to have been right about that.
Right, because I always say, you remember this thought experiment we did some time ago, like how many famous people do you know now? Go back 5 years, go back 10, now go back 100 years, go back to 1924. How many famous people do you know from 1924? Let's go back 500 years, 1424. How many famous people do you know? What was going on in 1424? You know, go back 1,000 years and so on and so forth. And you can't, the further back you go, the fewer famous people you remember.
Yeah.
This guy was homeless. He was a rebel rouser. He was a carpenter. He was executed by the state. And whatever his ministry was, what, you know, I'm speaking from the secular world, whatever his ministry was, only lasted 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. It has been remembered for thousands of years. Thousands. So you're right. Something went on during that time that was so powerful that people, and it's not forced. It's a choice, you know, so.
I think he spoke to a fundamental truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is what has resonated for thousands of years. Even people who are not Christians or not practicing Christians or whatever, they will say, yeah, but he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, even people from other faiths.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, he's good. Yeah, right. I get that. I don't believe it, but I like him.
Right. I like what he was saying.
Right. And Muslims and others, right? And so that is what's, I'm sorry, I know I'm dragging this segment, I apologize, but that's is what is, that's what, you know, I aspire to be like. Yeah.
Cool beans. Okay, so we're going to take another break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to talk about if you were God, what would you do about humanity and the universe? We'll be right back. Okay, so we're back, and on this segment, we're going to talk about if you were God. And so we wanted to put you in the position of what would you do with humanity if you were God, which is what I just said, right? So, so if you were the creator, would you have sent your son to sacrifice himself so that the rest of your creation could be with you? Would you forgive them over and over again? Would you keep the promises to them even though they spit in your face and don't even believe you exist? Would you do all of those things? And I can tell you from my perspective, no. I wouldn't sacrifice myself. I've got one son, and there's no way I would sacrifice him for someone. I wouldn't sacrifice him for my mother. So I wouldn't, you know, and look. And then if I did send him down there and you guys killed him, you would be right behind him. So, yeah, you better be thankful I'm not God. That's for sure. So, but that goes to show you why he is who he says he is. B, what do you think about that?
I'm going to answer that question, but in a completely different way, I think. Yeah, I'm not, you know, what I will say, if I don't want to say what, because it feels weird saying if I was God. What I would say, though, that what I would like God to do, or what I think God should do, and I'm not answering your question at all. Sorry about that. I'm changing the topic. But show up on CNN and just say, hey, guys, knock it off. You know, get right.
But you know what? There'd be people who'd be like, that's fake. Fake news.
Fake news, yeah. No, that's true.
They wouldn't even, he'd be standing right in front of you, be like, you're not real. How do they do that? You know, kind of, you know, so that's the problem.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Spielberg is doing something crazy.
Special effects. Yeah. And with AI, things are getting, the lines between reality and fantasy are blurring very quickly.
So, and then the thing I would also like for God to do is like, you go to the grocery store and you buy some apples, and there's that one in there that just, you know, you don't see it in the bag when you go to the grocery store, but you go into to grab an apple a day or two later, it has messed up another couple of apples because it was a bad one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would get rid of that apple. From that apple got to go.
So
I'm thinking, I'm talking about Satan, right? Okay. At this point, right? Okay. Like, you just messing things up. So you got to go somewhere else.
Well, I think eventually he will. You're talking about right now.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't just get rid of him from the get go. Then we wouldn't have had to go through all this. But you know, but I think we would have messed up anyway. To be honest with you, we probably didn't. If Satan wasn't around, Adam and Eve would have sinned just later on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe not. I mean, maybe because it looks like things. Maybe because they had the they had choice, right?
Yes.
But
see, that's humanity, because you have all of this, but you can't touch that. That's taboo. What's the first thing that we do?
Go right to that.
We go right to it, man. Yeah. And even children do that.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's just, you know, why put it there? I hate to say that, but you know.
Well, I think I think it was there for a reason. I think it was a test. Now there's no biblical.
Yeah, nothing.
You know, but I think it was there for a test for you for obedience, you know. And then if you, after a certain amount of time or whatever, because I think we were meant to eat from the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. But you remember, in the Bible, it says after they were kicked out, it's a good thing they didn't eat from the tree of life also, because they would have been immortal in, like their sin, in their sin. Yeah. So that's why, and I think there was a sense of urgency to throw them out. So they'd be like, well, I messed up now, so I'm going to start eating everything. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and so I always thought about that when they said that. So, because when they were kicked out, there was like no grace, nothing. They're like, you got to go right now. You know, and I'm closing the gates. I'm going to put someone at the front. He's going to have literally a lightsaber, because it was a sword with flames on it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you come back through here, we're going to get you. So I'm not sure how we got on that tangent.
Even if the tree was there, why was the devil? Right? Well, so
he was cast down to the earth.
Yeah, but he was able to get into Eden, right?
Yeah. Again, he also had access to the throne of God, too. So he could go back between earth and heaven all day long. I don't know why.
So
well,
again,
I mean, well, actually, I don't know
why.
That goes
back to my original point. You're a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Let me flip this on you. If it were your kid, would you deny him access to his father? Should I cue that cricket sound? Where's that cricket sound?
No, let me think about it.
So if it were your son, he sinned against you and the family, you kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying he could never come before his father? He's still going to act a fool. You know, he's still going to be this guy. He's still going to be Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to allow him to come back to you and just say hi?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because you...
Yes, and you would allow him or no?
Pardon me. Yes, I would not allow him.
Okay.
Because you're not a good person. and
but
you're
he's
gonna
still con- your son.
Got it. Yeah, I can visit you over there.
Okay.
Right? I can visit you in Kansas, but my people in New York, I gotta make sure they're okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't put you in that box.
Huh? No. Because seriously though. It does beg the question, right? Like, when you say if you were God, like what do you mean, right? Like, what God? Not what God.
The God.
The God. But I mean, in terms of how God presents himself, right? New Testament, God presents himself through Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Very different way than in the Old Testament, right? I was actually reading, I was listening to actually, Exodus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moses is talking to the burning bush. And it's such a wild way they wrote that.
Uh-huh.
Where he, you know, God tells him 10 times, I need you to do these things. Moses is like, okay, but man, I got this problem. I got that problem. I don't know this, what, you know, I can't speak right.
Right.
And so then they come to an agreement right at the end. And then it seems like, okay, Moses got his mission. He's going on his mission. And then it says like a couple of lines later, and then God tried to kill him.
What? I missed that. He's trying to kill him.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't have the verse.
Oh, yeah. I have to read that. I must have missed that part.
So, if you need to edit this out, go ahead. But yeah, that is an Exodus. I'm like, and I heard it many times. Like, what? What happened?
All right. It's only been 5 minutes.
Right, 5 minutes, and you know.
What may have happened was he was like, yeah, okay, well, I'll get to that tomorrow, and then maybe lightning struck and be like, hey.
It looked like Moses had his marching orders and he was on his way to do it.
Oh, then.
Then God met him and tried to kill him. Like, what?
I'm about to read that, man. I must have missed that.
So
it sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't remember.
If you need to edit this out, like I said, because that's what I believe. And I heard it several. I've read it, but I was listening to it. It sounded weird when I heard it. I'm doing the audio Bible. It really does, though. Kind of makes you think about, so at, you know, there's a line, right?
Right.
Below that line is us.
Right. Right.
Right. Everything is down here, humanity and all that stuff. Uh-huh. Above that line is like the spiritual realm. Right. And so when I said, like, you know, what God, I mean, like, it depends, you know, how is God showing up? Right.
Right.
And so, because again, It's a different, when you read the Bible, it shows up very differently depending on where in the Bible you're reading.
So I got to tell you, God is a patient being, creator, because I always started over a couple of times. I was like, delete. let's start this. Let's start the earth all over again.
Patient with me, that's for sure.
But I said that to say this. I'm thankful he didn't delete us because it is, we are capable of such great things, but we typically mess it up too. So, and not just on a global scale, just between individuals, how we ruin relationships, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not so much, you know? So, and betrayal and all of those things, because apparently that happened to Jesus too. He was betrayed. He had some relationships that were very solid. And then, you know, there are people that, you know, were only around him for clout chasing, essentially, you know. But ultimately, you know, it's the universe as a whole is so awesomely terrifying because it's so vast. I just, when you look, and it's just hard to grasp that all of this space that he created, all this entire reality, and he is so focused on the people in the third planet from the corner of a galaxy, you know? So, and he's very concerned about them. He sent his only son there who was betrayed and crucified and who had to be a sacrifice in order for humanity to be reunited with God, you know? So, and just knowing my son's only 9, and you know, it's I just, you know, when I hear about the school shootings and stuff like that, it just makes me, you know, makes me angry and very, you know, very, very uneasy, because it could happen at any school, you know? And, you know, like that, what was that, that whole situation down in Texas where the cops didn't go in there for like 20 minutes and...
2 hours.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And that's horrible. While a person was just murdering children, when that's your job, is to run toward danger. And the parents were like, we're going to go in there. And the cops prevented them from going in there. And the parents were willing to sacrifice their own lives to save the children, which is why I had an issue with that response type.
Yep.
Now, people, you may be thinking, well, it's easy for you to say, you're not a cop. Look, I trust and believe I've been in the situation, so I do know. Not necessarily a school, but when it has to come to choosing to run into danger, yes, I do know. So I can speak on some level of authority on that. And so it's important to understand that, you know, you have to, when you have your own children, of course you're willing to protect them with your own life. But are you willing to sacrifice them for someone else who would hate you, who wouldn't even value that sacrifice, and yet you still did it, you know? So that's what kind of makes me step back and think, man, this is on a completely different level kind of parenthood, you know? So
it's so funny. Let me tie in something. Let me tie in two things you were just talking about.
Okay.
There was the school shooting. There have been so many. I'm getting them mixed up now, and that's terrible.
No.
But the one that kind of started it all, not Columbine, but the one from maybe 2012 with the Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook happened after Columbine.
Like, yeah. Okay. 2012 or 11.
Yeah,
or something.
I know which one. Yeah.
So yeah, with Sandy Hook, I heard about it. I was at work. And, you know, my son was much, much younger. I'm like, gosh, this is, you know, those parents, they lost their children, right?
I mean, they were like kindergartners, right?
Yeah, first grade kindergartners, yeah. And I got out, you know, worked downtown, got off, got in the car, and I was just so like, why aren't you doing something about this?
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I can't do anything. Like, right. And it was a weird thing. It was like a powerful like impression I got.
Uh-huh.
I asked the question, "Why aren't you doing something about this?" And what I felt come back to me was, "Why aren't you doing something about this?"
Ooh. Uh-oh.
You know, and I honestly, I sat in my car, I kind of sat back like, uh-huh. Whoa, you know,
right.
And I'm going to take that as a spiritual message. I don't know how else to take it, but
what'd you get from that? Like, what did he mean by why aren't you specifically doing anything?
Yeah. So what are you doing? You are here. What I took from that is, you need to take action to take steps to not let this sort of thing happen.
Right.
I'm looking for him to, you know, have a Cecil B. DeMille moment, right?
Right,
I need
right.
you to, you know, I need you to send a bolt of lightning right, or something. Right. You know, something, right? You know, because that's, you know, but I think that what that told me was, we're to be his hands and feet.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That's the message I took from that.
Right.
And so, you know, when you see wrongness, when you see injustice, you know, when you see the strong oppress the not as strong, I'm not going to say the weak, but when you see that, you know, what do you do?
Right.
Where do you take a stand?
Do you take a stand?
Right. You see people, you know, talk about, you know, people trafficking children, the Russians invading the Ukrainians, what Hamas has done, what Israel has done
right.
in response to that, right? And so how do you activate the Christ enough to say, hey, maybe one person can't do something, but maybe 10,000 people acting with the heart of God,
mm-hmm.
100,000 can do a lot, right? And so
that's going to go on our highlight reel. I've got to mark that for the editor. That was a great speech, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Thank you. But no, I'm serious. Okay. That is exactly what happened. I was in the Metro parking lot. I did that.
Wow.
Because he hit me like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Whoa. I don't have no better story than that.
So. You and I didn't even think about it until you were just talking. It's like, oh, my God. Remember that thing happened.
So, but, you know, I cannot tell you how many times that's probably happened. Actually, that's probably happened to more people than we can probably gather when we question, like, what, you know, you're the creator of all things. Why aren't you doing ABC? Why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
You sitting right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a very interesting perspective, you know, in how he answers your questions. Because sometimes we can't get up. We have to be careful because, again, he could literally remove you from existence and the memory of you from everyone else.
And I usually go at him like that. That was one of those.
Right.
You know, a bunch of kids just got killed.
Right. What's up?
Right.
You know? So, yeah. And, you know, in that same token, you know, you look at it. I mean, I'm sure there's many people that think like that for abortions, too.
Yeah.
All those babies being killed in the womb. And I got to tell you, I saw, it was a 2020 episode. It was so long ago. And it's been seared in my mind. I'll never forget it. But they showed when whatever the blade is used to kill the baby, to cut it in half, when it pierces the body of the baby, it opens its mouth like it's screaming before it dies. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what the lady says. It looks like she's screaming. And the guy's like, yeah, that's probably what's happening. That's horrible, horrible to see that. Because I'll tell you, when my wife got pregnant with our son and there was a bit of a complication, so we went to the emergency room just to make sure everything was on the up and up. And they did an ultrasound, and he was just swimming around in there, bumping his head against the side of the womb and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was just so weird to see that. And also that little bitty thing would turn into this, eventually this 9-year-old boy, he's playing video games at the house right now. But it was, you know, just to see that, you know, I can't imagine losing him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And it was another situation when my wife had moved him to a different daycare. And when she called me, I get it. She wasn't really thinking, but when she called me, she says, they lost JJ. And, you know, and of course, all the blood flushed out of my
brain.
Everything
stopped.
Yeah, oh my God. But her very next sentence was, he was in the bathroom because, you know, they lost track of him. They were like, you should have started with that first. So, oh my God. So I almost crashed the car. I was just like,
So it was,
and of course we never brought him back to that. And his arm was wet, so it looked like he was playing in the toilet, being a boy, you know. Yeah. But the fact that when she came in there, she couldn't find him. They didn't know where he was.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and so that was, I was like, never again, you know. Yeah. And I can see how some people can feel about that when they lose their children, that sense of loss. So to actively then send your son down there.
Yeah.
And watch him be killed. Yeah. I mean, you literally, and then, according to scripture, when all of sin is placed on him, he has to turn away from him.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, and the best scene that I can describe in that is in the Passion. So when Christ dies, the scene looks from above, and then you see the image starting to blur, and then you see a drop of water. Now, that is supposed to, according to the commentary, supposed to indicate that was God's tear, because eventually it did rain, but that was his tear from crying, from having to turn away from his son.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. So, you know, I got to tell you, if I were the creator, I would have hit delete a whole bunch of times so I got it right, you know, and... And I'm glad I'm not. Y'all should be thankful I'm not. Yeah. So, and but it's interesting to theorize.
I'll still get that old apple.
You said what?
I'm still going after that apple. I gotta get
that apple. One apple. You will delete apple at least one.
Yeah, the apple has got to go.
But even so, like I said, you better be thankful, me or B. But let's just think about that, because remember, we have all messed up many a times, and we should have been deleted many a times just by rejecting the things of God, you know? So that's all we wanted to talk about. All right, bye-bye. No. But no, it's you won't know how a man feels until you walk in his shoes. Now, we can't walk in the Creator's shoes, but you can put yourself in that perspective and you can see how you come up short, right? And then you can see why he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And yes. All God true. God does things that we don't understand and we may not necessarily agree with. Mm-hmm. But I do not recall anywhere in the Bible him asking us for our opinion. Mm-hmm. So, and you may not think that's fair, you may not think it's right and all this other stuff, but it is what it is. And just as you tell your children, if you have any, if you're blessed with children, that you have to do this and you don't have to explain yourself, well, guess what? He's the same way. We have to obey certain rules and he doesn't have to tell us why. Mm-hmm. So, and we have to recognize that. In that same token, it's okay to reach out to him and be like, hey, what's going on here? Just as B said, he was very upset over that, right? And God answered. May not been the answer he wanted.
It was not.
It's never the answer you want. Right. You know? But I got to tell you, real quick story. I was having some trouble at work, and there were individuals who just gave me all kinds of problems, you know. And there were people I thought that I could trust, at least two of them. The other one I didn't have respect for, so I didn't care about that one. And the other one, I didn't have respect for him either. So there were two I didn't have respect for, and the other two I trusted. So there you go. So in any case, and I had to work for all four of them. All four of them gave me a hard time. And I went to God. I was like, hey, all this is happening to me, you know, I'm getting crushed under here, and I need you to do something about this. And I got back, he's like, what does that have to do with what I gave you? And I thought to myself, well, maybe you didn't hear me. maybe you misunderstood what I was talking about, you know, clearly, because, you know, and I got the impression, no, I heard you. Has nothing to do. You worry about what I gave you. You continue to teach. You continue to help people. I'll take care of them. They'll make you whole. And as of yesterday, they're all out of my hair. Oh, all of them. Oh, and wow. I've been made whole. I could not believe it. Not only made whole, I'll be able to be closer to home too. Oh, wow. So some of you who don't believe, you may think, well, that's just, you know, either that's fake or that's just coincidental. You can call it whatever you want to. I went to my father and I appealed to him. I didn't get the answer I wanted, which at the time I was like, really? And I had to deal with them for years. I had to deal with them 2.5 years. I had to deal with that. And one by one, they were removed from. And now, in quick succession, because the first one was moved, the second one was forcibly moved, the third one was forcibly moved, and the last one was removed from my hemisphere, and they're all gone. They're all gone. And they didn't get fired or anything. They just got moved to other departments where, and then now, you know, again, I've been made whole. They've given me responsibilities back that I originally had, and it's huge. So wow. I was sitting back thinking, if you didn't believe then, if you had any doubt he was sitting there on your side of the track, you know, that doubt has been removed. So that was huge for me. And it's not as awesome as your story, by the way, but it's a personal effect where you know, if you, and again, that's what's important for you to believe. If you believe, your prayers aren't always answered in the way you think they should be. And that's where, because I wanted him to strike them down. All right, I want him to have a car accident. I want her to fall off the side of a cliff. I want him to choke on his chicken. And I want, you know, also, I didn't want that stuff to happen to him. I just wanted them out of my face. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's hard. And the hard thing is because I got the impression that I should pray for him. I'm like, well, you crazy. I ain't doing that. But I tried. I did. They weren't as fervent prayers as I would for, like, you know, people I do love. But one thing I did discover is the more I prayed for them, the less animosity I had toward them.
Okay, you just put something on my heart, because there are some people.
It's hard to dislike people that you pray for. It's very difficult. It's because you try. So now you're actively trying to work against it, you know, and so. But it's a slow process. Like I said, my prayers were not. I'm like, yeah, God, look out for these four. I don't really care, but you know, I'm just doing this so I don't get fined, kind of thing. You know, so. But after a while, I did pray for him because I did not want one had a health issue, and I reached out to him. I let him know, hey, I'm gonna talk to my men's group, have them all pray for you, for a quick, swift recovery. So I was indeed adamant about that. So, because it could happen to any of us. And I'm a firm believer that prayer is going to be important for recovery for a lot of people. You know, so, what were you going to say?
So, should I go home and pray for?
I'm scratching my throat.
Sorry. Should I go home and pray for Putin?
Yes. You see?
Yeah. Because that's what you put on my heart just now when you were talking.
But check this out.
Because there are a lot of bodies that are laying horizontal now that were vertical about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Fence. Yeah. You betcha. And see, but that's what's critical. That's what separates Christians from others. You know, to the world, that's complete nonsense. What you want to pray for is his demise. That's what
you got to get out of that chair.
Right. Right, but you want to pray that he comes to the conclusion that what he's doing is wrong, that he sees the error in his ways, that what he's doing isn't right, da da da, that sort of thing, you know. And you know, now if he is struck down by lightning, that sort of thing, that's on him, you know what I'm saying? So, but you didn't pray for his demise, and that's what separates believers from non-believers, because it seems nonsensical what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and after a while, and it was even a pause when you said Putin. I was like, that guy, really? But yes, the same principle applies. Even though he doesn't directly affect us, he has directly affected a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of the innocents, like you say, are gone because of that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessary.
He made a choice.
Right. And he will have to, that guy, he's going to have a lot to answer for, you know, so. That's another thing you really want to pray for him, because if he doesn't get his act together, his eternity is going to suck. You know, it's going to be just all bad news for him. Now, some people may hope for that. They're like, yeah, I'm purposely not going to tell him about God, you know, and we cannot be like that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You don't want people to burn in hell just because you have an issue with them. I know you're looking at. I wish we could see his face. Like, yeah, bull crap. I got John Smith and David. This one, so, I ain't telling them about God. I want them to go to hell. So, it's that.
I would grease the skids.
Don't slip.
You go straight there.
Right.
In a hurry.
Do not pass go, but it is. but we are serious. I know we kind of got off on a tangent
you're saying that, right? You do want to, you know, as Christians, that's kind of our mandate. It's not just about, right, accepting Jesus and bringing others to Christ, but then you know that prayer. Right, that you
gotta walk the walk.
You gotta walk the
And that's hard because we do a lot of tripping. I'll trip a lot. So, okay, well, we're going to wrap up the show here. And you got any last words? Last thoughts, not last words.
No, I'm good. This was fun.
Okay, cool. All right. Just as always, if you guys could like and subscribe, we greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you next time on the show, Question Christianity. You all be safe, be blessed,